A very warm welcome to the City Council, Thabang, and thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mloi, and to your listeners as well on the City Radio and City Council. Thank you for having me, guys.
Now, one of the things that a lot of people that are in the space of online content have alluded to is the fact that the internet has changed how we consume content. And in the changing of how we consume content, it has also then redefined the very business of content. So when you're looking at the emergence of different platforms and also even the downfall of many others that have had to close, what would you say it takes to thrive in the media space as an entrepreneur in this times that we're living in?
I think one of the most important things is to actually acknowledge that we are living in different times where we are consuming a lot of content digitally on social media. But I mean, the emergence of media, of digital media, has always been there in the past, I think, 10 years from now. Before now, I mean, we've had digital media being there. It's just the consumption thereof in Africa has always been slow, and maybe I think because we are a third world continent as such. However, the entrepreneurs can take advantage of this digital media platforms, and we're not only limiting it to social media. There's a variety of digital media that can be taking advantage of. Some people look into blogs, some people look into e-commerce sites, and some would look into websites themselves, but when you look at digital media and how people like to consume data, you are able to then say, let me take advantage of it as a small business, because then I'm able to find people where they are. It is said that most people spend about, I think on Facebook, an average of 40 minutes in a day. If you spend about 40 minutes in a day on Facebook, think about it as a business person, that if in the 40 minutes, how can I maybe take 10 minutes of their time to lure them into my business, one, but also now to convert them into clients. And then you create a customer experience on digital platforms through within that 5 minutes that you're going to grab their attention. Mm-hmm. One, you need to create awareness of your business, what your business is about. Number two, you need to consider, you need to go through into a consideration phase where they consider your products and your services. Who is this person? What are they all about and whatnot? That is the consideration phase. And then the conversion phase is where now you're now converting that person who understands what you're all about, and then now starting to now, doing sales with you. For instance, I mean, with yourself as an author, Ace, you share a post about selling a book, and your book probably is about 250 rand, and then that is now awareness. You are sharing that with people, and then from there, people are considering, oh, okay, Ace is an author, and Ace is selling a book, and the book is called Diary of a Church Boy. And then you take, they go from that phase and now starting to think about, let me buy. Maybe month end I can put up a budget so they can buy. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to be very smart in that process, in the entire process of the customer experience on social media, especially because most of you are actually putting up your content on social media to advertise your services and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So entrepreneurs must be careful of the type of content they're consuming, because now it will help them to make sure that they also put up content that will be enticing for their potential customers, as it may be. And it's so important for them to now develop what we call digital strategies. Now, digital strategies will encompass all those elements, social media, websites, and. So that you are able to fit it up into your business model, mm-hmm. and into your business plan as well. So never neglect digital media and digital marketing, because a lot of people are consuming content on those platforms. Yeah.
Now, one of the things that you said was that because we happen to be a third world country or continent instead, we may not necessarily be having as much good access to the internet as possible. And they call it the digital divide, where you find that someone in the States has been making millions of money through YouTube. And by the time it gets to South Africa and everyone jumps on it, the trend is already dying out because we're using the platform for other childish things that were not about money. But let's start first by bridging the digital divide. What do you think is an issue? Is it an issue of policy? Is it an issue of political will? Or is it just an issue of multinational corporations that are bullying us here so that we don't fight for ourselves?
It's an issue of a variety of aspects and issues that are entailed. I mean, if you look at it, and I wrote a piece on the digital divide, I think 2 years ago, we spoke to the digital or the infrastructure for IT in the country. We don't lack the policies, by the way, because I've collaborated also with the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, which now is the Department of Communication and Digital whatever. They changed their names anyway. So these guys, what they were doing is to work on a project called SA Connect. With SA Connect, it was then to say we identified 8 district municipalities in the country which we are going to target. And you know, in those district municipalities, we'll make sure that by 2030, we could have really, you know, bridged the gap between the haves and the have-nots in terms of digital migration. And also, you know, making sure that the infrastructure is set up and ready for people to go into that. I think COVID-19 is a blessing to us to awaken our senses into realizing that actually our leaders failed in terms of implementation, not on policy level, however, for on implementation level, because there is a project already that is existing. It has a budget that is put in place. USASA is there. You have DTPS on board, and then you have my broadband infraco already there, as well as government institutions that are set up in order to roll out internet connectivity throughout those 8 district municipalities that are in dire need of internet connectivity. However, number three is a problem, of course, the multinationals, of course. If you have your Facebooks and your Instagrams and the YouTube of this world, whereas when you are living in the first world country, you are spending much chances of making a lot of money on your putting up your content on those platforms, as opposed to what is happening right now in the country. In South Africa right now, if I'm sitting on about 12,000 subscribers on YouTube and I'm putting up my content, and I have more than 4,000 worth of watch hour time, I'll be making about 1,200 rand in a month, as compared to somebody, my peer in the USA, because the licensing and everything is done in the USA, and when it comes down here, there's a lot of people who already put their hands into the budget, so when you're just literally eating the crumbs. So that's why a lot of artists from the Western world are literally thriving with digital platforms and putting up their music online and whatnot. So they didn't even have a problem of piracy, like how Mzwakhe Mbuli has been shouting about piracy in the country. They didn't have a problem with people pirating CDs and stuff like that. But in the country, this is the challenge that we're having with piracy. But now things are moving online, and COVID has showed us that we actually need to speed up on the project of migrating things digitally and making sure that our entrepreneurs are equipped. But not only are they equipped, but also we create an environment that is thriving for them to actually participate in the digital space. Yeah.
And one of the misgivings and some of the fears that a lot of entrepreneurs have in terms of migrating to the digital space is, as you said, piracy. But also it seems to be our lack of consciousness about e-commerce and how it works. And I remember when I was still doing marketing back at Varsity, that the module for e-commerce or digital marketing was really one of the very difficult ones, because I couldn't understand what was being talked about, as I had never done any form of transaction on the internet.
Online.
And I've seen that this becomes a fear even when I deal with authors that are going to say that they don't want their work to be on Amazon, as they feel like someone is going to, you know, to take it as PDF and start circulating it. How do we deal with those issues? Are the fears sort of justified, and is it an issue that's going to need legislation, or are we just dealing with people that are digitally illiterate and need a bit of education in that regard?
I know of one policy right now that they are dealing with in terms of copyright in the country. There's a big issue with regards to copyright in the country, but right now, but that is besides the point of what you're talking about in terms of you know, people taking content and sharing amongst each other. I think maybe because we are a nation with the biggest population of black people, and those black people, they believe in Ubuntu, and Ubuntu speaks to sharing. And maybe that's why we are holding to that principle of sharing. Whenever we have something we want to share with others, you know, like they say in Sepedi or Soto, that, you know, whenever So sometimes you always want to share, but I think it is important in terms of education, the level of education. I think our country, what it has failed, and that's why when I criticize the ANC government is, you know, is that pre-94, we could have really worked hard on equalizing our level of effort into putting, you know, budgets into health, where at the time we were dealing with HIV and AIDS. I think we could have, I mean, you know, dealt much on education, because right now we are sitting with a population, a people that is uneducated and unable to, you know, to even use cognitive reasoning. I mean, or also, you know, comprehension is a big problem in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have people having such issues, I mean, even literature on its own, not literature, even literacy. Literacy is a big problem in the country. Then how do you expect such people to actually understand that when I take material, ACE, and then share it with somebody on Facebook or on WhatsApp, it is actually infringing on the rights of that person. Then you are now distributing illegal content because it's no longer legal. Even though you downloaded it legally yourself, now when you start sharing it with somebody else, now it becomes illegal activity. So now the education part is missing in our society. So what we need to be doing is to get education, run an education drive using social media, because we can't now go to the communities now. I mean, even with the lockdown restrictions, and I think even post COVID, things are going to get tougher as well. So we need to harness the power of social media to now drive an education around getting these people to understand what it means to go online and do e-commerce transactions. If I'm buying things, if I'm buying a book on somebody's website, what are the perks? What are things that we need to be doing, and what shouldn't we be doing as well? So that thing is very easy. It's done. It's simple. I mean, 15-year-olds buy stuff in the USA, yes, and there's no sharing of those things, whatever. It's in their culture, and also the level of patriotism has been enshrined in their hearts. If you look at a 7-year-old in America, they can recite the national anthem, they can do all this, the things that really speaks about America. And even the current president of the United States speaks about, you know, putting America first. Mm-hmm. That's why he says that make America great again, because it was a great nation before. And that's what we lack in our country. So patriotism.
Now, we're sitting at 15 minutes heading to 6 o'clock. It's www.cityradio.co.za, and you're still listening to the City Council. My name is Ace Muloi. Been driving you in conversation with pleasure from 5, and we're going to be topping it like it's hot at 6 o'clock in the hands of Moi Mohapi, who's going to be taking over with our City Nights between 6 and 8 o'clock. But as we still have a few minutes that we have in our conversation now with Thabang Phala, and we're talking about a lot of issues as far as the world of business media is concerned, and I think one of the pressing conversations, Thabang, that the industry is still trying to grapple with, and I can imagine that there's going to be academic paper after academic paper that looks at the advent of this and the implications it has had in the industry. That is the emergence of influencer marketing. And in the past we used to have a lot of people that established media companies for the purposes of doing promotions and advertising on behalf of brands. But now we've seen that a lot lot of brands are choosing to rather skip you and go to the other person one-on-one who is an influencer and has a specific community which they speak to. How has that in any way affected the whole traditional media and PR community? And what are some of the things that we need to do to make sure that the business doesn't collapse?
This is a very interesting thing because, I mean, we are speaking about this while today I got a deal for influencer on one of the biggest institutions in the country. And it's a very interesting topic, and it really speaks to my heart as well, because my company has been working towards building an influencer marketing tool in Africa. Here's the reality. Some of the courses that you have learned in school, some of the lessons that you have learned in school in terms of marketing, as you have done ACE, they're going to be irrelevant in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
even 2 years, 1 year from
they're,
now.
They're obsolete.
Here's why.
Mm.
If you look at the marketing funnel, when you're studying marketing, the marketing funnel speaks about awareness, consideration, and conversion. Now, in the funnel, in those different stages, what brands right now are looking for are people who are going to drive what you call awareness. They will deal with conversion, right? But they are looking for people who are going to influence. In the olden times, we used to have kids. We used to look into kids to be the ones who are going to influence their parents to make buying decisions. For instance, if I wanted to sell Oros, not Oros, let me use Mac, that washing powder product.
Mm-hmm.
They will do an advert that speaks to the kids, and the kids don't do the dishes. The kids don't do laundry, but the parents are the ones who are doing laundry. But what they will do is to influence the kids through that mass media marketing
mm-hmm.
for awareness sake. When Mac came, and then it was Mac, and the kids, when they repeated that thing,
mm-hmm.
they got when the kids go to grocery with their parents and they do grocery shopping and they say, "Oh, mommy, there is Mac. And once they see that, now those kids influence you as a parent to buy Mac instead of Sunlight, instead of Steph. You understand? So the same process now has shifted from that. For the same model has now shifted from traditional to online, where now you have young people who are as young as 18 and 16. They are generating income. One kid that I'm mentoring, she makes 25,000 on minimum, right? On influencing other people to do betting, right, online.
Yeah,
and this girl is only 19. She is influencing people to do betting on sports, right? And she makes a minimum of 25,000. This is now a person who is now getting money from Betway and other betting companies to do that. So those betting companies or those companies, those brands, they approach these young people who have a lot of followers and have not just only followers, but influence. Because some people might have followers without influence. And when they have influence, because when they say something, people do something. When they say, let's retweet this, and they retweet, let's like this, they
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm.
So they have influence. So they approach these people to do influence marketing, where now they're able to share posts on a daily basis or whatever. One post maybe is 120 rands or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it varies with the level of influence and marketing and also the followers that you have. And this is a new way of doing marketing online right now. If you wanted to get your brand out there, you must look into influencer marketing to make sure that you buy. It's like buying airtime on radio right now. You're buying airtime. You're buying space through the influencers on social media.
On the platforms.
So it's a very,
pardon,
come through.
And I was saying that you're buying that space and airtime on the platforms they build for themselves, and they have a bit of credibility in that space, so that when they say something, there's that relationship of trust. But I want to cut you in so that as we continue, you factor in what I want to say, because I'm looking at our time and it really is flying.
No problem.
So the News 24 this week announced that there's not going to be a subscriptions in order for us to consume. The kind of content that has been given to us quite freely, one would say, and for a number of years. If you're looking at publications like the Daily Maverick, if you're looking at Sowetan, I think even Times Live, there have been subscriptions where you want to read something and then it tells you that it is it is only for people that have subscribed. Now, this, of course, is in relation to the punishment that the entire industry is taking from COVID-19, but also even before COVID-19, we've been precipitating towards this kind of situation. Now, at the same time, you guys from Abizmate, you come and you say, here is Gospel 24/7, and we want to launch into the space. While other people are retreating, you are throwing yourselves out into the open.
you know, what's very interesting is that the advent of digital migration has always posed a threat to the traditional print media, and a lot of them we know about Ndala Media and what happened with Destiny Magazine and others as well. I mean, recently there's been some of the Hayes Hornyot and others. But here's the thing. When you are now giving content to people, it really needs to be worthwhile for people to put a subscription button to it and put up money every month to receive something from them. For me personally, I have my own, objections about their move and whatever as News 24. I'm a former writer of News 24, by the way, but, I have my objections around that.
What are the objections? Tell us the objections.
The objections are looking into the content in terms of the quality of content for people to then say, especially the readers that are looking, consuming the content, reading this content. This is one objection on it. The numbers have also have dwindled a bit in over the past time. I mean, when I was writing for News 24 in 2013, my article would get to 4 million, maximum 4 million, my article. Right now, the articles would get to less than 900,000 in terms of reach. This is because of the implementation of social media monitoring and whatever principles that have been put into by Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook and stuff like that. Because now you need to pay. Now you need to pay in order for you to reach more people. So it's becoming so expensive for you to put up, posts and then getting to reach a lot of people. It used to be so nice in the past. So my objection is on that as well. Now you're not going to be reaching a lot of people as you thought that you would. That's why now you're opting to make people subscribe to the content. A lot of people are going to lose interest in reading. Right. So you are literally shooting yourself in the foot. Gospel 247 has launched on the 31st. So the 31st of August. The idea for us is to make sure that we reach the gospel industry throughout the continent. There's a whole lot of content that is not captured. And we have seen a market in that space where a lot of people want to be profiled. We have upcoming gospel artists. We have so many great preachers and whatever. We need to use this as our authentic voice for the digital, for Christianity in the digital space. And we want to have preachers put up the content. We want the books to be put up there where people can find a central avenue where they can buy content. They can buy books or whatever, but also they can consume free content from us, motivations, inspirations, whatever. A lot of people are now being depressed because of these issues of COVID-19 and whatnot. So we've created this space for people to be motivated and whatnot. We're going to have a list of authors across the continent who are going to contribute on a weekly basis, monthly basis, and we're going to make sure that the content becomes as much free as possible, because freely we have been given and freely we shall give. And I think it's important for us to tap into this space of digital marketing to make sure that people consume content online, because churches are moving online, we must also move our content online.
Now, what's going to be your revenue model? Because I'm hearing a lot of free things. No one is paying any sort of rent for a store, for something.
We're still using the same model, you know, the adverts. I mean, we're going to have people advertising on our social media platforms, not only on our social media, but also on the website itself, on the portal. People already, we have a couple of people who are still scanning in order to for us to put up their adverts. By the first week of September, we'll be putting adverts on the on our portal. But also, we have authors who want to, you know, sell their books to the wider audience, and we are exposing them to that wider audience that we have, and then we are building as well, because we're still a new baby. You know, we're seeing the numbers growing and growing. However, we're going to make sure that those authors take advantage of that, and then we're just getting a small percentage from their book sales. So if when as ACE you're going to sell a Diary of a Church Boy, we're just going to take a small percentage from there when you have your product on our platform, on our bookshop, and then people buy it, you deliver, and then we get that small percentage, and then we're able to generate revenue. And on social media, when people want to put adverts on there and sponsor and whatnot, that's how we're going to be generating income as well. But we're open to a whole lot of, revenue streams that we are opening up, and we are in consultation with a number of partners as well to assist us. I can't name now because they'll say, hey, da papa, you know, but it's an exciting journey for us. We are seeing the, various ways of generating income from that platform. And I think also entrepreneurs must start thinking, how do I do e-commerce? How do I do things online and make people pay for things online? I don't have a problem with making people pay for subscriptions, but I'm just saying, look at the numbers and how that's going to affect people and whatnot, especially when you're giving things freely. But a lot of times we're going to do is to make sure that we get things out there for free for people to consume.
Now, before we let you go, because we've gotten to the end of our time, Christianity itself is not something that is what's the right word? It's not homogeneous. There's a lot of diversity within the Christian space. And so when you come up with a platform that purports to be for the Christian faith, how are you going to make sure that it stays and doesn't fall apart as a result of doctrinal battles that might be coming from here and there? We have about 30 minutes. So as we close, what's going to make Gospel 24/7 stay, of course, in consideration of different doctrines that we have within the Christian faith?
We are not going to focus on doctrine, but we're going to focus on news. We're going to focus on motivation and inspiration. If we go into doctrine, we're going to fail. We have seen how Christianity has a lot of doctrines. It's not like Muslims and other people. So what we are going to do is to create a platform that is open to, easy content to understand and principles. We're going to work on principles, not doctrine. Because principles you cannot deny. If you give, it shall be given to you with a principle. Mm-hmm. But doctrine is now going into deeper things. But we are going to work on principles and make sure that people consume content that is principle-based, not on doctrine.
Okay, this is where we have to not only leave this conversation, but also drop the show. So thank you so much, Thabang, for engaging us. And we hope to connect with you as more developments in the space are coming up.
Thank you so much.